Wyoming Heritage and Contemporary Values Project, Lily Goodrich, Juanita Terry, and Hattie Utter, all of Wheatland, Wyoming, September 29, 1979, interviewer Melanie Gustafson. This was done at Lily Goodrich's house. Side one was done while they were also taping. Side two was done without them realizing the tape recorder was on.
They got it only the bill was on the school board might have had something to do with it.
Have you, the three of you been friends?
You have to talk louder because she
okay.
Can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have the three of you been friends all your life?
Well, Juanita and I have been ever since we were in the
first grade.
First grade.
Yeah.
First grade. Well, I have known Hattie ever since I moved over here, but I knew her folks before that because they always took in orphans. And I remember that they had some orphans in their home, and I was interested in them when I was teaching school. So I knew Hattie before I moved over here. But I remember the first time I saw her, she and her brother drove in here in a little old two-wheel cart to get something that night, and I met Hattie then and have known her ever since, and that was 62 years ago.
What are some of the things that have been important to you three as friends in your friendship with each other?
Well, I think through schoolwork and through children, I was interested in her sister's children. They lived up this way a little ways, and I was always interested in those five children, and my two children were interested in them, and they went to the same school. And Mrs. Utter was a very fine friend of mine. So, but Hattie, of course, was off teaching school and things like that, so I didn't get acquainted with her so soon. But she was always having programs at the Farm Bureau Hall and things like that, so. That's how we were quite close friends.
Well, we went to school. We lived out here, close to neighbors, and we went to start a school and a rural school together. And we just practically grew up as sisters almost. I feel as close to Hattie, I think, as I do my own sisters. So we were always in school together. We graduated out of high school together, and we both took postgraduate work out of high school. We both taught school afterwards, and we did some other things together, so we're just very close.
You all three have been married, haven't you?
Yes.
And did you attend each other's weddings? And
were they to be it took me a long time to get married.
Hattie was my best, was a bridesmaid of my wedding. Mm-hmm.
Hattie didn't get
but
married.
But Juanita hasn't been gone from Wheatland very long. She just left in what year?
In 75.
Yeah. So how long is your friendship? Altogether, how many years would that stand?
We were about six years old, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And this is 79 for about 73 years.
And I've lived in this house for 62 years. And the house, when I first came here, it's about 85 years old. And it was just two rooms, this little room right here and the bed and that bedroom. So it's been built all the way around. The last time the carpenter built this other bathroom, he said, well, now you've been all the way around, you'll have to go on top.
Hattie, you haven't said much. Would you like to comment on your friendships?
Well, she really said it all. I lived just a mile down from here, and Juanita lived a mile and a quarter this other direction, and of course I can remember how we sometimes I had time to go over to her house and stay all night. We did walking in those days, you know, we had no other way to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And then lots of nights she came and stayed all night with me.
Did you ever compete for the same boys when you were in school?
I had no chance.
You have to do what, did you say?
Compete for the same boyfriend.
Well, at our age, we didn't think about boyfriends when we were in high school. We never dated when we were in school.
They didn't do that.
You did when you were in high school, didn't you?
No.
No.
Well, when I was in high school, I had a boyfriend. I rode 7 miles to school, and every night he would saddle his horse and ride about 4 miles home with me. and he'd turn around and go back home, and I'd go on to my home. And when I was in high school, I had three boyfriends.
Oh.
One at high school, one in the country, and one in the ranch country. And so I always got to go to lots of dances and lots of parties. And my father had this automobile, and whenever we girls, four of us, wanted to go to dances, why, he'd take the car and take all of us and our boyfriends. But the boy said he always sat next to the door, so there was no chance of getting out to do anything wrong. So so we were very well guarded by our father all these years. And when I started to school, we only had school about 3 months in the year. And our teacher drove out with his buggy from town, which was set about 6 miles and a half. And at that time, they had no high school here. So a lot of the bigger boys, when they'd get through with their fall crop, would go to school. Well, these boys loved to play baseball, so they would put all we little kids up in the attic of the school and told us to keep them very quiet. And he came, and there was no school, because there was no children there. So he could hitch up his horse and go back to town. Then we'd get down off the attic and go down to a little creek about a quarter of a mile, and the boys would play baseball all day until it was about 4 o'clock, and then we went home. And in real cold winter, we didn't have school. Then when we began to have school and they began to accredit them, we had a new schoolhouse, and then school really began to take place.
Juanita and I went to a school just a mile up here, and of course the teacher had 8 grades, and there were usually around 40 of us in the room. And of course our favorite games were playing baseball, pump, pump, pull away, and all those things that you gals don't hear about.
Were you considered tomboys then?
Not really.
It was okay, but...
Sometimes the boys played by themselves. I think most of the time maybe we girls played ball by ourselves, didn't we?
Well, no, I was going to say, I think we played with the boys too much.
I think, yeah. They had to be.
Yeah.
I know, I always played baseball with the boys,
yeah,
and I was a real good runner, and I could always hit the ball, so I always got to play. And there was a pond about all the ways from our school, and we always went there for recess and in the afternoon to skate. And then the pond was there even when I started teaching school. After I was through high school, then I taught school, first at a ranch and then another place. And then I taught the home school where I had gone to school. And I had all 8 grades and 45 youngsters. That time we had lots of Mexicans in our community because they were starting sugar beets here. And we had lots of the Mexicans, and a lot of Russians were moving in this community. So we had great classes of foreign children all the time.
Juanita didn't teach as long. You only taught how many years?
Four years.
4 years, and I taught 20 years. It took me, I got all my... we both took normal training in school, then we teach right out of high school, and of course they can't do that anymore now. And but I took all my university work, and I finally graduated in 39, but it took me 20 years to get my degree, because I just did my work through extension work and correspondence work and summer school.
You must have had to be very persistent to actually try.
I guess you'd call it that.
Well, we got through with school now. What do we have to do after we got through school?
Well, we got married, I guess.
I got married and went through the First World War and knit and crocheted and did everything like that and worked at the sugar factory. And then I started raising chickens, and I had a big incubator, and I'd hatch about 5,000 chickens every year, and I kept a flock of about 300 hens, and made a living for us for quite a while, so we could get our farm paid for. And then after that, why...
That was after you were married?
I sold out, and I've been retired now for a long time.
Yeah, that was after she was married.
Uh-huh. After I was married.
Uh-huh. Well, after I taught school, but I got married, and we first went to Kansas, out of Baldwin City, Kansas. He was going to take over my husband's farm. And so when we got there, his father agreed to leave and go in and live with his mother, who was an invalid in Olathe, Kansas. And then after we got there, he decided he didn't want to leave the farm. So Frank wouldn't stay unless he would leave, so we came back to Wheatlanding. And then my husband worked for Mr. Ayers, Lily's father, in a grocery store here in Wheatland. And then he worked, went to Casper during the World War II, and I was working in the city clerk and treasurer's office here in Wheatland, and he would drive back and forth from Wheatland to Casper, and he worked there during the World War II, because help was so hard to get from the market, meat market instead. And then after he came back from them, then we bought a farm out southwest of Wheatland. And we lived there until he retired in 1975 and moved to Sheridan.
Did you leave teaching because you got married?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was at the city clerk and treasurer for 12 years in the town of Wheatland, and now I worked in the Department of U.S. Department of Agriculture for 17 years. After we bought the farm, and I drove back and forth, worked, and he ran the farm.
Did you like doing that?
Yes.
Keep working after you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you did too, with the chickens?
Yes.
That was work after you got married?
Yes.
But you got married later?
Yes. I didn't get married until 1940 and went to a farm down here. And I was the hired man. I very seldom saw the inside of my house. I did everything on the farm, and I raised chickens too, only I'm not as big a, but I usually raised two batches of 400 every year, and dressed those out in between times, so most of them in town dressed.
What and do you mean that you were the hired man on the farm? What does
well,
that mean?
We didn't have any very much help, and so
it was left up
I
to
helped
you.
My husband
uh-huh.
with and we had mostly didn't do well. The first year we were married, he raised beets, and he wouldn't raise them anymore. I always said that he couldn't stand beets and me both, so he decided to keep me and let the beets go. But anyway, we raised, we had run a lot of stock, and our stock was about 4 miles from our home down here, so we had a real rugged time in the wintertime getting to them, because we've had some awful bad storms, and it was daylight after dark. Work, trying to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
I really had to work.
Well, but I never worked outside much after I was married, but we always fed sheep. We'd always buy about 5,000 in the fall and fatten them out and then ship them to Chicago or Denver too. And I remember one time we wanted to get some new musical horns for our boys, and we shipped these 2-carload of sheep down to Denver, and they wouldn't even buy them. Sheep were only selling for about 2 cents a pound. And I can remember walking the streets and going to the different places to see if we could find some musical instruments that would be cheaper, because we were desperately poor. And finally we had to send those sheep on to Chicago, and they sold for 2 cents a pound. But over the 40 years that we raised sheep, I don't think we ever lost money any year. We always thought, well, maybe set aside $5,000 in case we should lose 1 year. But we always came out on top every year with our sheep business.
How about your business on the farm? How did that go?
At first we had to drive them clear into Wheatland and load them on cars. Then we had the meat dump and we would drive them up there and load them on cars. Then the last few years we truck them, and trucking has become such a wonderful thing now. You hardly ever see the train carrying sheep or cattle or anything. It all goes by truck.
That's the way we did too. We shipped by car some and then train, and we could load them up here at the beet dump and finally. But we milked a lot of cows too. From 20 to 30, and I raised bucket calves. I was called the calf gal from the Flats. If anybody had little calves to sell, they'd always call me, and I'd go get them, and we'd raise 20 to 25 or maybe more. One year I got in contact with a dairy on the other side of the Flats, and they usually kept their heifers, but he let me have both of them, but he could buy the heifer, had first chance at getting the heifer calves back. And so sometimes he wouldn't take them all, and we didn't have very fancy ones, but we finally got a milking machine, but Vincent wouldn't use it at all. He would milk my hand and I run the milking machine.
Well, we didn't have a dairy. Our dairy, we had some nice Holstein cattle that my father gave me for a wedding present, and they would produce an awful lot. But I went to Eastern Star to a convention, and when I came home, my husband had sold all the cattle he didn't like to milk. Yet he was had his master's degree from Ames, Iowa, and in his thesis he wrote milk and cattle. And I always kidded him, because why did he take milk and cattle when he despised a milk cow so?
Why did he sell the cattle while you were gone? Was he afraid to face up to you?
I think maybe he thought that was an easy subject.
But Lily can tell a lot about her husband, because he was on the irrigation district and the REA board when they both started. So I think she should tell something about that. They used to go all over the United States to conventions and things.
Yes, I've been every state in the Union, and we used to drive by car quite a bit, and he oftentimes would fly. I've been to Yellowstone about 14 times, and I've been to Washington, D.C. 15 times. And it used to be lots of fun to go to Washington, D.C. But now I don't think it would be a bit of fun to go, because it's so changed, and it's all a different class of people that live in Washington, D.C. All the natives have moved out into Virginia and places like that because of the element that has come into Washington, D.C. But our capital is a beautiful place, and I've taken lots and lots of movies of things there. And all over the United States, we've always tried to take a 2 weeks vacation every year and go to some very interesting place. And just this last week, I have burned all those old road maps, because they were getting so old, and I thought an atlas would certainly fill the bill now.
How was your friendships affected when you all got married? Was your friendship with Juanita affected when she got married?
Oh, really, they were away from here a little while at first, but I had to teach in the rural schools here for so long, because I was kind of a hard-boiled teacher, and every year that I would teach where they'd pick out another school where it couldn't be managed, that was why I got to be hard-boiled. But then I went to Wendover to teach, and I ended up in Glen Rock, but Juanita's place was always open to me when I'd come down weekends. So,
did you spend a lot of time together?
Well, quite a bit, yes. For, you know, me teaching and she having her home.
until Hattie got married, I was going to say, maybe, again. And then I think she was too busy after that.
Oh.
We didn't see much of each other for until the last few years then again. We would always know we could call each other on the phone or see each other uptown. Of course, I worked in the office in town, and she worked out here on the farm. So we weren't as close then until probably a couple of years before I moved to Sheridan, and we got together quite a bit.
Winnie's husband was ill for a long time, too, and so she was kind of kept at home that way. And my husband was ill for 4 years. The last 2 years I had him in a wheelchair. And so
and that's where
we kind of lost contact with each other then, only by phone. And every once in a while we'd see each other.
We still write once in a while.
What are some of the things you would talk about when you'd get together?
I guess mostly our relatives and friends and things like that.
Gossip.
The good times we used to have.
Yes.
We made our own fun out here. We just our recreation was not costly. But we just always made our own fun. We went to parties and dances, rural dances, and things like that. I think that's probably what we would get together and talk about. The old times, the good times we used to have, and how we grew up together.
Then Juanita and I both bought a car. The first year we were married, we both had quite a little ways to drive, and heavens, every weekend. We usually went in hers because hers was a sedan. Mine was just a little Ford Roadster.
That was before we got married, huh? You said after we got married.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Do you want to speak to this? What were some of the things that you would talk about with them?
Well,
friends?
Of course, there's quite a bit of difference. You know,
sure,
she was here and I think we've been together more since I got married and gotten club work and things like that.
Oh,
see?
Okay.
That's when we've gotten to know each other.
I
mean, we knew each other, but then...
And we're all widows now, and it does make such a lot of difference because you don't go out with the same people that you did when you had a husband. Because, you're just not welcome, it shouldn't say welcome, but you just don't go. You just don't do those things that you did. And now we all take tours with the travel bureaus and things like that, which we didn't do when we were married and had our husbands, because we went by train or airplane or by car and got to the places where we wanted to go. And now we go in more or less in groups.
I will have to make a correction, Lily. I'm not a widow.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, my husband is in the VA hospital. So I'm the same as a widow. I mean, I'm alone.
Uh-huh. She lives alone, and that's why.
Uh-huh. And so I do go on these tours. He's been in the hospital 4 years in the VA hospital at Sheridan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're up at Sheridan. Because he's up there in the VA hospital.
You must have talked about when you all three came together as friends. You must have talked.
That would be mostly in our club
work.
Lily always had the Christmas club.
Yes, I've had
party.
It here
still does.
For 42 years. Christmas
what
party.
Would you do?
Has been in this house for 42 years now.
For that. You would.
So several people said, well, you just keep on rather than to give it up, I guess, because I had quite a large house, and I don't know, it's just customary that they come here.
This wouldn't be Christmas.
We used to all belong to the same club, the Wheatland Country Women's Club.
Oh.
And that's what our Christmas meeting is with Lily.
Are your clubs pretty important to you?
Yes, I think so.
Why?
Well, we don't do as much in our club anymore because we're all getting up into the 70s and 80s, and so we're not as active. But it does mean a lot because you meet your friends, and we used to do a lot of things through the extension work. We used to do lots of canning and lots of sewing and lots of of lots of things. Everything that came in new, we were told about, and so we always tried it out. And our extension work has been going now ever since about 1914. And while sometimes we think, well, we've been there long enough, yet you always find something new. I think that you find something new every day if you're looking for it. There isn't a day but what you shouldn't be thankful that you can find something new in this big wide world.
Do you suppose your club sort of gave you a different perspective than just being at home all the time, sort of an escape from the home? I mean, just a change?
Social time, too.
Yeah.
Was something that men and children weren't involved in and gave you life away from that for change?
Well, we usually brought our children.
Oh, you did?
Well, children were small.
Yes, we didn't know what babysitters were in our day.
Then we had what we call a literary society, and that was usually on a Friday evening, if I remember right. And they always had a program and something to eat. That was just a friendly get-together. Winnie and I used to get in on a lot of those programs. In those days, I could remember a lot. And I had gone to, there was a lady here we had, I think through the WCTU, they had contests for gold and silver medals. And we had a lady who was really interested in it. And she trained us, and we had contests with each other. So sometimes we'd get to these meetings and the program that they had planned wasn't there, and they'd, well, Hattie and Juanita, what do you have? And we usually had remembered something that we had learned and could do it.
Just a minute, I think you better turn that. Mine is only good for about so many minutes. Maybe.
Oh, yeah, it's okay. I've been watching them. They're almost done.
Oh, it's all right.
But about a few more minutes.
You ladies belong to the WCTU?
Not anymore.
You did back then?
No.
But I did.
What kinds of activities were they promoting?
Oh, I don't remember too much about it.
We'd naturally be against drinking.
No,
the WCTU, and you know, that's why
they were involved in a lot of other social causes too, I believe.
Drinking and smoking were never in my line of business because my father would have, I expect, murdered we daughters if we'd ever caught us with a cigarette.
Did the sons smoke?
And he didn't hire men who drank, so we were very, and that's the way it's mine. I'm proud that none of my family, my own family, my grandchildren, do not indulge in those things.
But later we had the Farm Bureau. We all belonged to Farm Bureau, and we had Farm Bureau meetings up here once a month. And of course, we did a lot of farm work through that, but our just kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller till we finally sold the building.
Well, I think the dues got higher, too, all the time, too, you know. The dues on most everything now is so much higher that people just do not take to it. And it's a changing world with the TV and things like that. And things that we were interested in when we were children don't much interest in the present generation.
Well, I still belong to the Farm Bureau, but then it's a kind of a county farm bureau now, and I never do go because our own,
stopped.
So.
Yeah, I do too, but I don't attend much.
Okay, I have one more shot, and I want you with all three to look at me. Very good. Thank you.
I think these are just about done. Oh, we have a few more minutes for a few more questions. What did you ever see joining these clubs in more than just a service and social activity? Were there ever political reasons that you joined the clubs?
No, we didn't have
that kind of clubs. No. We had more or less social clubs.
Uh-huh.
And in our club, if you would try to have a book report, everybody would sort of be out in the kitchen helping the hostess get the lunch. And somehow we had one president who did want to have book reviews every month, but she had to give it up because the people were just interested in gossip or in the things that they were doing. They weren't interested in a book review.
Why do you suppose that was?
That's all our club wants to do now.
Yeah.
We have, and they're not interested in any kind of a program.
What about the Farm Bureau? What does that do?
Well, they tried to get laws passed for the farms and all that.
Well, women are involved in that.
Yes.
And they have their insurance program. Mm-hmm. And that really makes a lot of difference because most of them took out insurance, and that's against hail.
Well, hospital insurance, too.
And then hospital insurance and things like that.
Do you feel comfortable doing, talking about legal issues?
The Farm Bureau? Not really, because you have to do to do it right, you have to do a lot of reading and a lot of studying, and I just never felt like going that deep into it.
Mm-hmm. I always liked book reviews very much.
What were some of the book reviews that they would do?
Well, I always read them historical books on my own. Haven't you said they were playing cards tonight?
Oh, now Lily.
No, you didn't tell me where nor what.
Oh, come on.
Did she?
She was there. No, I said I was having wanted to have a little birthday. Ruth's birthday is
you
next
said
week.
You didn't know what you were going to do about Ruth because you were going to be gone?
No, so I was going to have the party tonight because Juanita was here.
Well,
and I said, do you want to come to town with us and I'll take you home? You said, no, I'm going to have company supper.
So are you having a party at Ruth's house?
Huh? It's going to be at my house.
Oh.
And I'm having company from Casper at supper.
But she said, that's what you told
and
me.
And I've got the hamburger out there to make pizza pie, and you love pizza pie.
Yes, I do. That's
good. And I stand all night, so they're not going to get here very early.
Oh.
Would you like me to turn your tape recorder on?
No.
Would you like
no,
me?
I think
because we're going to go.
Oh, you are.
Well, you
go.
Have to wait now to have a cup of tea if you're having a party. You know, Mrs. Bellis yesterday, she said, she went to Laramie to a tea party, to a dinner. And then she came home, they got home about 3:00, and then she made an apple pie. And everybody thought she was just plumb crazy to come home from, she'd be too tired to come home and make an apple pie. And she said, why, that crazy? Can't you always work after you come home from a ride? She couldn't see that. She's going to be 90 next year, and so she.
Oh dear.
Is she going to be 90?
Yeah, her next birthday. She's just 98 or 89 this September.
Oh, for heaven's sake!
Who is it you talking about?
Maud Bellis.
Oh, Mrs.
Bellis. Oh, Maud Bellis. I thought you said Mrs. Belt.
No,
but you said Bellis.
I didn't
listen
to
all of
Bellis.
It. Oh.
We were at Bellis. See, you misunderstood me just like I misunderstood you. So that's fair.
Hattie, could I ask you a question? When you were a school teacher, did you ever stay in with a family on a ranch?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, no. We always
because
had.
Because Ruth Miller
my
mentioned
first,
that
my
she
first
had a school teacher.
Was up here at the Wedemeyer School, and it had 6 teachers in 6 months the year before in first school. Because kids couldn't get along. And I lived with one of the families. Then they wanted me to take that school again next year, and I really didn't want to because I'd gotten by 1 year. And the next year, the two brothers is why they had trouble. The other family wanted me to stay with them, and see, that would have been my first trouble that I had a chance to go out of the district. Uh-huh. And then 1 year I stopped teaching. I thought I'd like business better, and I think I would have. And I stopped and went to Grand Isle Business School one winter. But I had to work for my board and room. I've always had to work.
Well, all of us always had to work.
When I started taking short, I got along fine in typing and bookkeeping. But I was working at a boarding house, and boy.
Hmm.
And when I started taking shorthand, I just had such an awful time with it.
and I lost 7 pounds in 3 weeks.
You ought to take shorthand now instead of being on a special diet. Why don't you do that?
Well, I can't even remember names anymore. But anyhow, I decided I would come back and teach until I had money enough to go back. I have a life paid membership in this Grand Island Business College.
Well, you know, that's the trouble with taking shorthand. You spend so much time learning it, and you get a job and never use it.
Yeah.
I just worked and worked and worked at it, and I never used it after I went to work.
But that winter I came back, I had a job up on a ranch where there were just 3 children. Twins and the other one had caught up with them, so they're all in the 5th grade, and I just taught in one room of the... There was a room of the house, and before that, I always had liked to read. I just read anything I get a hold of. But this woman used to come down to the library and bring me good books. But that was my most pleasant year of teaching.
Who was that?
Mrs. Webb.
Oh.
Earl Webb's. But that was up on Allie Hoffman's ranch. But, that was great. And then I had a friend living down the creek. I didn't have any transportation then. I guess I must have sold my car before I
went to
Grand Island. I guess I did before I went there, and I didn't have any.
I had to hawk it to get to school.
So Loomis came. He'd come and get me. And he had quite a reputation. He was a gambler and everything. But boy, they were really good to me. She was quite a wonderful woman.
Mm, she was.
But he was just awful good to me, too, because he'd come up. And
well,
get
everybody was
come
good to school moms.
You know, maybe we'd stay all night. Maybe I'd go stay with some of these, her cousins or her. There was quite a few of us that ran around together.
Well, I never had to board out. I had ridden 7 miles to school for 4 years, and then when I taught school, I rode 7 miles the first year. Next year, I rode about 2.5, and the next year, I was right close to home, so I either walked or rode.
I always walked when I taught.
But I always had a horse.
Uh-huh.
Till last year, all these years I've had. And we bought that wonderful horse from your folks, that Cinnamon.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
She died of old age.
Oh, did she?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was a wonderful horse, so.
One other year I taught on this same, it's a Cottonwood Creek. And I had 6 miles to go, and I rode horseback the first year. And the second year I took one niece that was only 5 years old and one that was 6 years old to school with me, and I did have a car then. And it was in the old days when we used alcohol in our cars, and I didn't have a tested one. I came to Wheatland nearly every weekend then. I went back in some terrible storms. See, that's about 30 miles out there. And I started school, and I saw that my car, the alcohol had frozen or something, and I couldn't go any farther, and so I told these two little kids to start walking. Oh, it was quite a little ways down in a big ravine and around, and I would catch up with them. And I would do for my car what I could before I left, because that car was pretty precious to me. And when I caught up, one of them couldn't walk anymore. And I had to carry her on my back by the time we got to...
Who were those?
Bessie and Lona.
Oh, Bessie and Lona.
By the time I got to some people that lived right next to the house, this other child, her arms were black to her elbows, it was that cold, and so that ended it. So they had an old sheep wagon there, and we stayed in that, the three of us.
Oh, dear.
We'd have to empty all our water every night because it would freeze, you know, if it had.
Mm, yeah.
But a sheep wagon, it wasn't very darn warm, but it was better than worrying about getting back and forth to the ranch.
You must have felt great responsibility for the children.
Oh, golly, it felt good.
Yeah.
What was that sheep wagon heat? You had some heat in there, didn't you?
Oh, well.
Oh no. All we had was
little wood to put in the stove and cook, and you couldn't stay up all night. And
no, but I meant when you were up, you could keep
warm.
Oh,
yeah. But you can imagine, you know, we'd have to build a fire when we came home from school.
Yeah,
have
to build a fire when you got up in the morning.
And then there's always to get the wood.
Yeah.
How did you feel boarding out? Is that what you call it when you stay at a ranch? How did you feel about that? Did you enjoy doing that, being with the people at the ranch?
Oh, yes.
I did.
How about
yes.
privacy? Did you get any privacy?
Any what?
Privacy.
Oh, yeah, yes. It's for school that I taught. We drove a buggy to the this schoolhouse. It was about 2 miles down to that, and I'd take their two children. And as soon as I'd go home, why, in the evening, why, their mother would say, well, get Miss Wiggin and go for a walk up the hill. And I'd seen all the kids I wanted to see, you know, during the year, during the day. So that's how I learned to do fancy work. Learn how to embroidery and crochet and everything else so I could get busy when I got home. But I had my own room there, and it had a water pitcher and a bowl in, you know, I could take my water in. And they were a very nice family. I enjoyed them.
Did you, were you friends with the woman who had headed the ranch, though?
Yes, yes. You couldn't have stayed if you hadn't have been.
Well, I didn't even know the people that I went when first school I taught.
Well, I didn't know Mary either.
But it was 15 miles out, and my folks took me out there to stay to start teaching. And when I got there, there was nobody home, and so we didn't know what to do. They had to get back to town to do their back home to do their chores and get things. So they just left me. And I just sat on the porch there, and they came in about 9 o'clock that night.
Oh, no.
That had never met them, didn't know them or anything.
Did you get along with them?
Oh, yeah, wonderful. They were just those real nice families.
What type of friendship would you have then with?
Well, it usually was lasting. Okay. The year that I taught 2 years up at Wendover. And nearly all these women, they were glad to have teachers. Oops.
Yeah, because
you
give
know,
them a little
because
cash
they get to see many people.
You paid to stay there then?
Oh, yeah. You bet.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever, you said after the day was over, you didn't want to be around children. Did you ever have to tutor the children that were at the house? Or that extra wasn't expected of you then? What about helping around the house? Thank you very much.
Usually you didn't mind wiping dishes and things like that. You didn't do any.
You know, I had
jobs.
Never boiled a cup of water in my life till I was married.
Oh, really?
I always had to work out in the field and drive a 6-horse team.
Oh, boy.
I was a real boy.
Yeah.
Well, I was too at home. Well, yeah, there's three girls in our family.
They were all girls in our family.
And we worked out in the field just the same as a boy. We got 7 to 15 head of cattle every night.
Well, what do you women then feel about the women's movement? How do you feel about that?
I don't.
Oh, so. I don't either. No, I think, heaven's sake, Juanita and I had plenty of opportunities. And what I don't like about if they're going to get this equal pay and equal stuff, that there should be nothing that they shouldn't do, that the men, and you can't, and women can't do everything the men do.
They can't be policemen, so they can't.
No,
I
think there's a lot of places where they just don't belong.
I don't know how these cook.
Golly, you could look at us. Don't we act like that we,
Yes, that's what I mean.
We got enough out of life, you know. What more did we need?
Did you felt that you got a lot of support from other women to drive that team of horses? Did you feel like?
Well, I never thought of those things.
No, we didn't.
The only thing I can remember when the clouds would come up, I always had so many runaways that whenever a white cloud come up, I'd begin praying that it wouldn't rain.
Oh, yes.
So I did a lot of praying.
We just, we made our own entertainment, and we knew we had work to do. We were responsible for our homes.
Never thought about it.
We never thought our husbands had it. Help us out with all our housework and take care of the babies. And even though I worked out, in the offices and all. I still took care of my, I had two children and
well, I never you didn't do that then until after your children were older, is that it?
Yeah, I did. I started to work when my oldest girl was in the first grade.
Oh. And we didn't have push buttons those days.
Mm-mm.
Did you work while they were at school?
Mm-hmm.
And then what would they do after school? Were you still working then?
My mother lived out close to where we were, and then after school they'd go stay with her when they were little until I got home. Sometimes they'd come down to the city office where I worked, and maybe play with some of the children. They'd come up and ask me if they could go play with such and such a child till I went home. And sometimes we'd do that, and I'd pick them.
That seems to be a recurrent theme that I'm finding, that a lot of women had mothers that could help them with their children.
Of course, I had no family, so I didn't have some of the problems that these did. In fact, I never did do a whole lot of, I just kept house with what little time I had. And so I never did learn to be a good housekeeper and a good cook like these other guys.
I just cooked to fill all the gang up. I usually had about 2 hired men to cook for and 2 school teachers to board and Grandpa and Irma and my own 2 children.
Oh, boy.
And my chickens. But I had a hired girl parts of time, too. But my mother, when she married, she said she would get married, but she'd never keep house, and she never did. She always had a housekeeper. So we girls all grew up. Dad was very proud. He wanted his daughters to have the best things in the country and the best automobile and the best horses and the best buggies and all that. But and that girl was with us for over 50 years. Even after my father died, we still kept her on a long time. After mother and dad were both gone. Is that tea too stout?
No.
No? No. Excellent.
Maybe, did you want sugar in your tea?
Oh, no. No.
Did you?
No. Want I would have gone after it if I had.
I've been trying to.
These are hand-painted dishes that I hand-painted when I was in high school. And then, I've got about 200 hand-painted dishes that I made then.
So you really have beautiful
nowadays
dishes.
I go to ceramic class and make figurines and things.
I noticed
like
the figurines. I wondered if you made them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm even fortunate enough to have a couple of her ceramics.
Oh. A collector's item.
You know, I thought I had a lot of all my Christmas tended to, but I gave it all away this summer. Now I got to go and make some more.
Well, that gives you something to do. It's wonder. Do you grow have a lot of flowers and things out?
No, I don't have so many.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, when I'm out in the garden, I can't tell the parsley from the carrot, so I can't see. At a certain distance, I can't. Mm-hmm. If I get down on my hands and knees, but I'm not going to get.
No.
At my age, I'm not
going to.
And the same way as canning. If I haven't canned enough,
I don't
the
can
good
anymore.
Lord will have to let me in anyhow.
Yeah, I don't can anymore.
I just canned 6 pints of chili sauce yesterday.
Well, what you gonna do? Give it
away.
Give
it away.
That's the way with Maud Bellis. Every time I get out of jelly, if I take Maud Bellis any place, I'll come home with a glass of jelly or something. So if I get out of jelly, I know what to do.
Yeah.
I don't eat jelly very often.
Maud is just 89 this month, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I made jelly this year, choke cherry jelly. Jean's husband just loves to pick choke cherries.
Yeah, she has her own choke cherries right there in the yard, you know.
Oh, Maud does.
And now she has these wild plums.
Yeah, they make such a good jelly.
They make good. So I had to have plum jelly for supper last night, and I had to have it for breakfast this morning. Then I called her and told her how I enjoyed the plum jelly.
You seem to share a lot now when you would, if you can, or, you know, do something like that, you would be free to give it away to a friend. What about when you didn't do a lot of store buy? You didn't buy a lot of your goods, food at the store. Was there a lot of free sharing, a lot of trading?
Oh, we used to raise big gardens.
Yeah.
And I think perhaps everybody had most of their own garden.
Yeah. We did our own canning, and we always had enough.
And if you had a little, you'd not try to sell
then
it
for jellies and things like that, we used to you know, take trips sometimes overnight to pick berries and stuff. I remember I went
wild berries up in the mountains.
Oh, no, nice.
Her sister Hazel. Mm-hmm. I remember how Carl carried us across the, must have been Laramie River, on his back.
But once the Terrys and us went to Duck Creek Falls, and we got all day getting there, but we didn't get to the falls. It took us so long to get there, we had to come back home. But
I think of that trip every once in a while.
Oh boy, would we ever? We had to corrugate the roads.
Juanita,
must have been a wet summer.
Would you and Hattie go to dances a lot?
Oh yeah.
Oh gosh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy that?
Oh yeah. We couldn't go to a dance Saturday night. We just thought we just didn't have any week at all.
A lot of times a bunch of us girls would go by ourselves.
Was that all right? Was that acceptable?
Oh, you bet. That's the only way we could get there.
People always danced with each other. They don't go and just dance with the partner they go with like they do now.
No.
I can't understand why they want to go to a dance anymore. Why don't you just stay at home and dance in your own place?
But they
place.
Don't have dances like that anymore. Not really.
No,
I think that's awful. Mm-hmm.
And the colleges used to do that. I remember that my husband always had went to college, and he always had these invitations that I still have them saved, and every dancer is a different
mm-hmm.
girl.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You exchanged with other boys.
Well, he would go out and fill up your card
yeah.
and get your dances for you. And you'd have your dances filled up for the
And whole you wouldn't
evening.
Know who you were dancing with, but he would always be polite to fill it up.
Yeah, and fill it up. If you didn't know him, he'd introduce him. And...
What if you didn't like him?
Well, you could dance
well,
with him once.
Dance with him anyhow.
You ignore him?
You dance with a lot of people
and
you
there,
didn't particularly like.
On the way home, or when you got home, or the next day, would you talk about the dance and discuss?
Sure. Oh, your daughter's too tired to talk about the dance.
Well, we could tell about our mother anyway. We always told her everything we ever
her
did.
Her mother was really a good listener.
And we'd go out, and the next day we'd tell her everything that we had done and the good times that we had.
Then we'd probably get together on Sunday and take her cars and go to Guernsey or someplace, you know, just to ride around and maybe take, I guess, lots of times.
Have another
cook,
no.
Oh, not yet.
Oh, yeah, have another one.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank you.
I think he was with us that time. Can we stop at Guernsey and have her?
Girls, have another cookie.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, Juanita, come on. Hattie. Well, we can have it. You don't have to follow Hattie.
For Christ's sake, I got on the darn scale again this morning, and I sure did.
What are you going to serve for lunch tonight? Something sweet, I bet.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, and then when I have you say, well, serve sandwiches so that I don't sweet.
Well, that's what I intended to do. Cooks brought me back three great big pears, biggest pears I ever saw
but they'll
from
keep
California.
A long time. Pears will keep a long time.
Well, I know they will, but then I decided I was looking for a recipe. I was going to make some apple bread. And I saw this pear bread, and I thought, oh, that sounds good, and I never did taste any, so I made some. And so I thought I'd make sandwiches out of it. Well, I didn't know just how many I was going to invite.
Oh.
I didn't start inviting until... After, well, I didn't decide to have it until Juanita called me. I don't know what time.
About 5 o'clock.
About 5 o'clock, and then
this
I decided.
Morning?
No.
Last night. And of course, I had thought a little bit about having something tonight for Ruth anyway.
No, I didn't know. I'm gonna have some more too.
No, thanks.
Hattie, have a
no, room. No. I don't. I'm not. I don't.
This won't bother you. All. Go right on through.
That's enough. Thank you very much.
So now what are you having? The pear bread?
No. Virginia baked a new apple cake.
Oh,
it really
did
is good.
Have you made one of those cakes
boy.
With
some really rich.
Philadelphia cream cheese? I'm sure I'm anxious to make one.
Apple cake with Philadelphia cream cheese?
Well, it's just a lemon cake.
Oh. You see, that's what we talk about when we get together now is recipes, cooking. That's the newest recipe.
I'm always trying out something. That's why I have to invite so many people.
I have too. I'm always trying out some new recipe. But I never use it. I tried out and never refer to it again, I think.
Half the time I do that. I bet I've got more recipe books than anybody who eats.
Say, I sent some over to the boys at the university.
Well,
Frank was always a good to try out anything on. He'd eat anything.
Yeah.
So I try out all the new recipes on him.
Did any of you ever keep diaries?
Yes, I have a diary for him.
Have you always kept one?
Mm-hmm.
Ruth Miller mentioned to me that she had always kept one.
I can go back a good many years now.
I started when we first moved out on the farm for several years. You know, the First National Bank gave those little day books.
Yeah,
that I had here.
And
one of those.
And I kept every year one of those for a good many years, every day on the farm, mm-hmm. But then I quit.
I tried Vincent, kept one. I still have most of his, but he didn't keep the things that I would have kept.
Yeah.
Nearly all of his was about weather or something. Mm-hmm.
Well, well, right now I have to rewrite the history of the REA, the Rural Electric, when it came in here. So I had to get out all my husband's diaries and go through those. So I've done pretty
well. That was the Rural Education?
Mm. Or electric?
Well, they're going to celebrate their 50th anniversary about 4 or 5 years from now.
Oh.
So they thought I should begin writing it all up.
Boy.
So I've been working on that.
That's good, too, to have that.
I had her write.
Really worked on that.
Last week I had to do the irrigation.
Yeah, I had her write one. I
wonder how it was.
Well, I think Wilma gave it, and she added to it. And used yours for an outline, I think. And then ad-libbed. She said, I can't read it. But I can talk, and I said, okay, you just read it now and get what you want. Well, people listen to you better if you talk to them.
I think so, too.
But when I called her this morning to see if she could come tonight, but she was going up to Glendale with Vaudrey and a bunch of them. And I said, did you?
Up to Mrs. Vaudrey's beautiful cabin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's such a beautiful place.
Oh, I'd like to be invited up sometime, but I haven't been.
Well,
where is it? On the dam? On the lake?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, it's not too close to the lake. It's up about where Coles was.
Oh.
But also, you got it fixed up so wonderful.
But I said, did you enjoy it? And she said, no, I didn't. She said, I don't think anybody else did. She said, my report was pretty near at the end, and there were just too many of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be, I suppose, every club that had one to give. But I thought maybe, I was hoping that she would, because it's the first time we've gotten her to go to something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of sorry she didn't enjoy it.
We went to Buffalo the other day to the Historical Society's dinner that they have up there every year. And this one girl gave a history of that whole the society, the Buffalo Historical Society.
Mm-hmm.
But she went into so much detail and was too long.
Oh, that's too long. People get a little too tired.
Mm-hmm.
Say, what we need is a corresponding secretary in our club that could send in those reports. If we have a corresponding secretary.
What's the difference? You have to write it anyway. You might as well write it in duplicate and send it in.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I used to do that when I was a secretary. Then I'd send the copy to the extension office.
That way. Oh. Fortunately, Jeanette Shoup said she'd be glad to send me in the paper for me. And that, you know, it should be a little bit different. She loves to do that, and so she runs the reports to the paper, but I just report to the county agent.
Mm-hmm. Will you have another cookie?
Oh, no.
And more tea?
I just finished lunch at Ruby's just before we came here.
Well, but
are you girls going to the university?
Yes.
What are you majoring in that you're doing this?
Well, it has nothing to do with my major.
Oh.
It's done out of the Women's Center at the university, and we're called the Susan B. Anthony Women's Center. And we got money from the Wyoming Council for the Humanities to do this project. And they wanted to fund it very much because they felt that the things that women were saying and talking about amongst themselves were very important, but nobody else knew them. And that it was about time that people started recording what their concerns were. And so what we did is, instead of asking you to tell us your whole life in 1 hour, we just put it between the years 1920 and 1950. And that way there was some sort of concentration. And from those, then we'll have those public presentations. And we'll keep you up to date so you know when all those are.
But you see, we started in 1900 and
sure.
100.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Because it all, I think one of our ideas with the public presentation is to take the years between 1920 and 1950 and take those experiences and bring them up to.
Did you turn the radio off?
Yeah, I think it is. I don't hear it, at least.
I've got to go. They're sure to play yet.
See if they've won the game.
Let me take it for you.
I think I'll pack these up.